This weekend, we pay tribute to a lot of people who in the past have given their lives in battles. And for many people, they think battles are all over. They think that there may be cold wars, but there are no hot wars right now with America. But you know, there is a hot war waging, and that hot war is right here in King City, and it's very near your home. And the Lord knows this, and He sent to us this word earlier this month. And I read this because I want to ask you two questions, and depending upon how you answer, will make me want to read this because I know how you're going to answer. The first is this. How many of you believe that in days gone by, God actually spoke to people? Just lift your hand, okay? Second question is this. How many of you believe that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow? Lift your hand. So then, if God in the past spoke to people, why won't God today speak to people? And there are, I would say, 8, 9, or 10 people through whom God has spoken in this body of Christ in the last couple of years. And there's no reason why any one of you cannot be an instrument through which God speaks. And this is pretty awesome. And yet you can be. And God may providentially choose you to be. He chose one person in our body to give for this word, and it came to us. And so I want to read it to you. It has to do with battles. Take heed, my children. Walk slowly. Walk with caution. For the evil one is close. He has come to rob and destroy. He will plunder. He will steal all he can. You have the weapons to come against him. He needn't be able to get a foothold. Fight, my children. Use the weapons that have been provided for you. The blood of Jesus, the word of God. Come against the enemy. Don't sit back taken in by false comfort, false security. Open your eyes. Keep watch, for this enemy is close. He has come to rob and destroy. He will attack you, my children, with force unless you stop him now. Do not allow him to get a foothold. Cast him down at every corner. Wield the sword continually against his wicked deeds. This is very serious, my children. We are in a battle. Take your places, each one of you, and fight with the weapons you have all been given. You are each one a believer in Christ Jesus. You are each one redeemed by the blood. You are each one a mighty warrior in Christ Jesus. Lean heavily upon my word to fight this battle. Wield the sword. Acknowledge, my children, that your strength is not of yourselves, but comes from the mighty Lord God who reigned in the land of Israel. Come, my children, stand up and fight. Fight for your homes. Fight for your families. Fight for your lives. This is truly a battle. Unite my people in prayer. Come against the enemy as one people. A house divided cannot stand. Come together, my children. Take your places. Each one of you has a place. You need one another. Do not let the enemy trick you into thinking you are not important or to think that you're not a vital part of the body. I need each one of you in that place I have chosen for you. Unite, my children. Come together as one. Overcome the enemy. Help one another. The battle is fierce. The enemy and the evil one will try to deceive you. His tricks are many. Remember, go slowly. Do not accept anything that is not tested as being from the Lord of hosts, for the deceiver comes to plunder. He comes to rob and destroy. Be cautious, my children. Lean upon me, my children. Trust only in me, says the Lord. Put not your trust in man. Rely not upon your own understanding. The deceiver does deceive man. Rely therefore only on the Lord your God. Submit yourselves, my children. Submit yourselves to the authority of Jesus Christ, the King who reigns. He truly reigns. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. My children, be on guard. The enemy will lie, trick, elude, deceive. So be cautious. Be careful. Unite, my children. Be of one mind in Christ. Remember, my children, I am in control. The Lord your God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit leads his army on to victory. Come, my children, take your places. I've already told you. Heed my words. Take seriously what I've spoken. Act upon them, my children. Act now. I have spoken. Take up the sword and fight. Shout the victory. Go into battle. Hallelujah. Our God reigns. Hallelujah. Amen. Yesterday we think about the battles lost, the battles won. But here God is saying that you must be reminded that you are in a battle. And he says some things here that are very important. The first is that we don't think that we can do it upon our own selves. Our strength is not in ourselves. Our strength is not in our arm. Our strength is in Almighty God. And the second thing he says was for us to wield the sword. This is the sword. Wield it like you would take a sword in cutting down, because this word is sharper than a two-edged sword. Wield the word, he says, and he says to use the blood. Those two things. Fight, he says. Fight! Use the weapons that I've given you, he says. The blood of Jesus and the word of God, and come against the enemy. Now I want to turn your attention to a scripture in Judges. In fact, I'd like for you to turn in the Pew Bibles, if you will, to Judges chapter 7, verse 22. It's on page 270 in the Old Testament. But before we actually, I want you to turn to it, but before we read the story, which tells exactly what we just read in this prophetic word, I want you to do two things. Turn to Joshua 7, and then secondly, take the blue insert that you found in your bulletin, so that when we turn to Scripture this day, we can read together from the same translation, and I think this is very helpful, and it's not distracting when sometimes we read from different translations. God is counting on you. We are in the battle. But the interesting thing is, if you let the page face up that says, "You are my vital axe and weapon of war." That's the side we're reading from. You are my battle axe and weapons of war. We are in the battle. And the God says we're to fight. We are to use the weapons that have been provided for us. The blood of Jesus and the word of God. But follow me and look this way, if you will. If I am going to be a battle axe, then I must go with not my strength, but with God's strength. So we use the word and we use the blood. We, in other words, I, because you're looking at me, I will use the word, I will use the blood, and when it is together in me, then as I use it, I become a battle axe. Now, Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 20, just says it in those words. He says, Jeremiah 51, verse 20, "Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. For with thee will I break in pieces the nations, and with thee will I destroy the kingdoms." The kingdoms that we are up against now are the principalities and powers of the air. We don't have a Memorial Day except when we have the Lord's Supper. And it is a memorial, for Jesus paid the price to win the battle. And we are the victors, and we are in the battle still as a battle axe and the weapons of war. Maybe you've never thought about this before, but you, my friend, are God's battle axe. Now you say, "Wow, I'm not much of a battle axe." Well, you can be a mighty battle axe, because he says, "You are the battle axe, you are the weapons of war, for with you I will break in pieces." This is God is saying that with you I will subdue the principalities and the powers of the air against which we are fighting. And on the blue sheet it says God is counting on you, the believer, to subdue Satan's empire and be the battle axe of the Lord. Now read with me, if you will, Hebrews 2:8. Thou hast put all the things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. And the next paragraph from Ephesians. In order that at the present time, by means of the church, the angelic rulers and powers in the heavenly world might learn of his wisdom in all its different forms. Okay, you are part of the church. You are part of the church. And you are the battle axe. And it says here, in order that at the present time, now this is whenever it's read, today it's the present time of this day, 1983. In order that at this present time, by means of the church, by means of you, the angelic rulers, the powers in the heavenly world might learn of his wisdom. So you see, God is counting on you. You just can't say, I'm no good, I'm just a toe. No, even the toe has got the function. Even the toe is needed for stability. And so the body needs even the toe. But each one of you, it says, is the battle axe for the Lord. Now in Jeremiah 1:10, he says, and read with me, see, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. And the next, for the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise the Lord. The Lord is using us in the battle. And the battle is fierce and it's strong. And it's going to get worse. And that's why God spoke to us at 5 o'clock in the morning on May 3, telling us that we are in the battle and we are to fight with the word and fight with the blood. Each one of you as a Christian is being counted on by God to subdue Satan's empire. Now we're in this battle. And so in it, Luke 4:18, paragraph number 5. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He has chosen you to do this as a believer. The scripture is very plain about this. You have been commissioned to do it. So, paragraph 6 from Isaiah 58. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. How do you break anything? You take it and you break it. Or you take something else and break it with that. So if you are the battle axe, either you go with God's power and actually break it, or you use what you've been given as the blood and the word, and you use it together to break what you are against. God has said, you people are the people who are going to break every yoke, set the captives free. You see, the enemy in the battle has come and has captured a lot of people. And you know what they do with captive people? They put them in prison. They put them in a confined place of some kind. And Satan has done this. He has so cleverly subdued that he has put the people in prison. And then Jesus comes and he says, I've given you the power to break the bands. You know the prisoners have the bands on? He said, I've given you the power to just uncuff them. I've given you the power to actually break the chains that bind them to what they are bound to. And you've got the power in the battle if you'll use the word and if you'll use the blood. But you can't do it on your own. We are in the battle. So now let's turn the blue page over and let's open our Bibles to Joshua. And I want you to see something that happened to the enemy that was in the battle. Again, the battle was fierce. But amid the battle, in Judges chapter 7, verse 22, something very interesting occurred. The 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host, and they fled. Now maybe you don't understand what we just read. It says that 300 men blew 300 trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against himself. 300 men encircling their enemies. Now, if the enemy was as large as the whole ground of the city of King, then obviously 300 men were stationed quite far apart from one another. But they were somewhat close as they could be. And the smaller the enemy, of course, the closer these 300 men were. But here's how it all happened. It begins in verse 1 where Gideon was told to do something. In verse 2 it says that the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that you've got are too many. I want you to go into the battle, but the people you have are too many. And so you've got to reduce the number from 32,000 troops to a smaller number. So what you do, Gideon, is this. You call the people together and you make this announcement. Now guys, we're going to go into battle. If there's anybody here who is afraid, if there's anybody here who wants to go back home, you're free to go. Just go. Please go. And the scripture says 10,000 people remained. Verse 3, let them return and depart. And there returned of the people 22,000. And there remained 10,000. Can you believe it? An army of 32, can you see that a general of the United States Army with 32,000 people in some country that's having conflict in the world today? And he says, now if you are afraid, go back home. You'll still get your pay. Everything is going to be okay. 32,000 people and 22,000 of them say, that's my call. I'm going to go home. I'm going to go home while I can go, while I can walk home. 10,000 remain. God said, Gideon, that's good, but you got too many. Got too many. Have you seen the host out there? You got too many, Gideon. You got to reduce the 10,000 men. You got to reduce them some way. And so the test came, the second of the two tests. He took the 10,000 men that were left, and as they walked down the way, he said, let's get a drink of water. And so these 10,000 people that are left rush up to the stream, the river, the lake, whatever body of water it was, and here's what some do. Some, boy, it's been such a hot day. I'm so thirsty. And they just got down like this, and they put down their weapons, and they just drink that water. Have you ever drunk water that way out of a stream? I have. Boy, that is delicious. You let it go all over your face, maybe. And that's the way a lot of them did. But there were a few other people that, gosh, I've been told to get that water, and I surely can drink the water. Well, this time I think I'll do it. I'll take my sword, and I'll get down like this, and I'm going to look around. Do like that. You know, my sword is ready, and I'm going to drink this water like that. And the scripture says that God said, Gideon, the people that lapped up the water that way are your men. The rest you can send back home. How many are there going to be left? 298, 299, 300. I had 32,000, now I've only got 300. That's all he had left. And that was all that was necessary. Because in verse 16, the word says, I'm sorry, we'll back up. Into the scripture, the Lord said, I don't want you to think that it is the power of your own might that has given you the victory. Therefore, with a reduced number of troops, if you win the battle now, you will have to know it is of God. And so, the victory is going to come about. But Gideon himself is just a little bit afraid. And the Lord tells Gideon, I want you to, if you are afraid, Gideon, go down into the camp and listen to what they say. And evidently Gideon was afraid because he left his camp and he went down to the camp of the enemy. He slipped down and he overheard a man say, had a dream last night. I dreamed that a cake of barley rolled into this camp. And the interpretation of the dream was that it is Gideon. It's Gideon and his men. Verse 14, the man said, this is nothing else than the sword of Gideon. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. So when Gideon heard the dream and the interpretation, he got strong within him because he knew this was of God. God had allowed him to hear the dream, and God had allowed him to hear the interpretation. So he goes back to his men, and he says, I've got the battle plan. Now here's what you do. You encircle the camp, all 300 of you, with a torch placed under a pitcher. There's enough air under there for it to burn. And then you go out with the torch burning in the pitcher and with your sword. You take your stand around the camp of the enemy. And at the right time, I want you to do what I myself do. And what it was simply this. Break the pitcher with your sword and cry out, the sword of the Lord. When this happened, remember now, it's late at night. It's dark. The enemy is in their quarters. They're sleeping. It's nothing to be alarmed about. They've got so many people. But 300 men carefully place themselves around the enemy. And then they crack the pitcher. They yell out the words, victory is the Lord's. And the people wake up out of sound sleep. They become so alarmed. And what did they do? It says that each one of them started fighting among them all, their own selves. Verse 22, the trumpets were blown. The Lord set every man's sword against his fellow. Can't you see what happened? In instant confusion, in the confusion of flight, they stand their ground. They suppose that the enemy was in their very camp. And they turned their sword against every man that they met while they were running out, thinking that that was their enemy. And the scripture says that they killed themselves. The enemy warred against themselves, and many were destroyed. Others escaped. Joshua then calls for some of the others who had gone home to chase them and rout them out and get them, which they did. But it shows something right here. Inside the camp, these people would mistake friends for foes, and they would flee for their pursuers. And 300 men took care of a great many enemies in one single battle. This tells me several things. It tells me that you don't have to have a lot of people to do what God wants to be done. Now it tells me community church has been thinned out. You remain. And because of your pastor's teachings, you are aware that we are in a battle. Satan is real. Demonic powers are real. In verse 10, Gideon was afraid. And so he went to the enemy camp because he was afraid. But verse 12 is an interesting verse. All the people, when Gideon went down there, were seen. And he says, all the people lay along the valley like grasshoppers for multitudes. That shows you how many people were there. Like grasshoppers for multitudes, and their camels were without number as the sands by the seaside for a multitude. The enemy was just not 1,000 or 2,000 people. It was a multitude. two to people. Camels couldn't even be counted. And the people, the enemy, were like grasshoppers. There were so many of them. The enemy today is numerous. The satanic influences in your family, in this city, are numerous. It's like grasshoppers. And yet, we've got the victory in Jesus. After he heard the prophecy from the Lord, he got up because he knew the Lord was going to give him victory. Now, we know the battle plan. We know it is fierce. God has given us two things here. He's giving us the word of God. He's given us a new prophetic word saying that victory is yours if you go out and fight, but you will fight with God's power, not with your own. These are the same words that he told Gideon. Gideon said, I'm going to have three groups of people. I think it's interesting that at this time we have three deliverance groups in our church. He says, you stand your ground, and the enemy will be confused. You stand your ground, people, and the enemy is going to be confused. And the idea of confusing the devil's forces to war against themselves and destroy their strength and their organized power is biblical. If you'll go back to the blue sheet, if you will. Paragraph 3. Evil spirits were originally good spirits. They were created by God. And God does everything right. And the scripture says in Isaiah 45, verse 7, I form the light, create darkness, I make peace, and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Now, the reason you can read I create evil is because everything there is was created by God. God created everything right. But when those things became wrong, it is still proper to say that God created the evil. So the evil spirits that we have were originally good spirits created by God. These are the works of his hands. Now follow carefully. These spirits that we are fighting against were created by God. They are the work of his hands. He has made these in the beginning. Now, it says in Psalm 8:6 that we have been made to have dominion over the works of his hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Now, if we believe what we read, then we've got to believe that David is saying here that we've been made to have dominion over the works of his hands. Now, the works of his hands include demonic forces. And we have been created to have dominion over, as we wield the sword and apply the blood, to the works of his hands. In this case, referring to demonic influences. Now in Romans, the scripture says in Romans chapter 8, I want to read these verses beginning with verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. A verse often taken out of context. But look at verse 19. For, referring to what we have just read, the earnest expectation of the creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. It does not say waits for the manifestation of the Son of God. It waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. How many Christians are here? How many are sons of God? You're sons of God. Now the whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of you, the sons of God. And the way you get the manifestation is to do what God says. You wield the sword, you apply the blow. You're in the battle. You're in the battlefield. It says the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. The redemption of our body. There's so much we can say about these scriptures, but verse 19, 21, and 23 just support the fact that we are in a battle, and there's one thing that we haven't done, and that's what Gideon did. He allowed himself to be moved by God, to move his men in a circle, surround the enemy. Have you ever wondered why we surround people while we pray for them in deliverance, or when we pray for them in healings often? Surround the enemy, and then something happened inside. The enemy attacked itself. The enemy attacked itself. They thought as they were running that that was the enemy, and they fought themselves. Now, Jesus said that a house divided against itself cannot stand. The following scriptures, which I want you to read with me, show that the Father has promised us he would cause devil forces to destroy themselves. Now read with me Isaiah 49:26. And I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood as with sweet wine, and all flesh shall know that I the Lord am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh. And then the next paragraph from Psalm 35. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let destruction come upon him at unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself into that very destruction. Let him fall. Scriptures support that the enemy will be turned against itself. Their sword shall enter into their own heart. So we are to command evil forces in the name of Jesus to war against other evil forces. Would you bow with me as we pray? In the authority of Jesus Christ, I take authority, Father, over our thinking right now. I loose the spirits of God upon this congregation, among those, one that will illumine those that need to be illumined, that we are in a battle and it's no picnic. We would remember on this day that while we commemorate those who have fallen in victory, given their very blood so that we could have America free as it is, there was a man, the Son of God, who gave his blood so that we could be free indeed. And Father, in the name of this Jesus, I take authority over all foul and evil spirits, authorities, princes, kings, powers, world rulers, and the highest and the mightiest serpents of Satan, and I bind them to the powerless, to be completely powerless, in the name of Jesus. I command the spirits of power to attack the spirits of witchcraft, the spirits of greed to attack the spirits of lust and pornography. I command the spirits in this city and in the country And this means if in people as well, if even here today. I command the spirits of riches by greed and wealth by greed to attack lust for world rulership and currency. I attack the spirits of anti-capitalism and rebellion against free enterprise and strike, stop work to attack the hatred for believers. Anti-American and human bondage spirits. I command in the name of Jesus the spirits of war between the nations, the spirits of destruction, the spirits of anger, to attack the spirits of Antichrist, to attack Jezebel, to attack religious and political blindness. I command, Father, these spirits fight with one again another. I command the evil spirits of wine and alcohol and drugs and dope and abortion to attack rage and mockery and vengeance and political science and evil political influences and infirmities. I command mind control to attack pride. Father, in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pronounce judgment written in the scriptures upon the evil and the greedy conspirators in and over worldwide organizations like America. Pronounce judgment, which is written in the scripture, upon the evil and greedy conspiracies in the world, the one world union, upon the Masonic order, the evil and greedy conspiracies that are in the Catholic Church, the Communist Empire, the Illuminati, the World Council of Churches, and we said even in America. And Father, it's written that we ask you in the name of Jesus to bind and to loose the spirits that are wrong, and we have dominion over them as a believer. And the reason we don't see too much being done is that we don't take the authority that is our inheritance and fight against these things. Father, we take our stand upon the Word of God. And in Jesus' name, we rebuke the foul spirits that are in our families causing problems. In Jesus' name. Rebellion, confusion, poverty, mental disorders, illnesses, spirits that fight against and war against the Spirit of God. Father, we thank you and we praise your name that it is as we speak according to your word. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Would you take the yellow piece of paper that you received when you came into church and would you pray this prayer with me? Would you stand as you pray it? The first prayer from the yellow sheet of paper. If you don't have it, lift your hand, please. The yellow paper. You will not be the same if you pray these prayers earnestly in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, I bow in worship and praise before you. I cover myself with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ as my protection. I surrender myself completely and unreservingly in every area of my life to you. I take a stand against all the workings of Satan that would hinder me in my prayer life. I address myself only to the true and living God and refuse any involvement of Satan in my prayer. Satan, I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to leave my presence with all of your demons. I bring the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ between us. I resist all the endeavors of Satan and his wicked spirits to rob me of the will of God. I choose to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. I pull down the strongholds of Satan. We only have two or three more to read, but I want everybody to be invited to read this. This means the young people, the teenagers as well. The very last prayer on the yellow page. say, I can't do anything. I'm only me. But yet with God, you form a majority. Now in the bottom one, would you please read? In the name of Jesus Christ, I now rebuke, break, loose myself and my children from any and all evil curses, charms, vexes, hexes, spells, jinx, psychic powers, bewitchment, witchcraft, and sorcery that have been put upon me or my family line from any persons or from any occult or psychic sources. And I cancel all connection and related spirits and command them to leave me. I thank you, Lord, for setting me free. You prayed that, God has set you free. If you're not a Christian this morning, the only way to become a Christian is just to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. And it's a simple prayer, like we just prayed, a simple prayer. God, save me. I believe in the atonement of the cross, and He will save you. And now that you've come to Him, the first prayer on the white page, would you please read that with me? And as you pray this prayer, you may be seated if you like. It is called a warfare prayer. Now, I said we're in a battle. We're in a battle, people. And you have at your disposal something that's in your mouth, and that's a word. That's the word that you speak. And as you speak the words of this delivery prayer, you can be set free. You can be set free. Do you kids have the white paper down here? Pass the white paper down to the front. Would you please, Darren or Greg? Okay. Okay, can you share? Okay. We're reading the first prayer on the white paper. The first prayer on the white paper. Pam, you can be seated if you like. You can be seated if you like. You can stand. No, sit on your baby. Okay. Now, you wonder what you can do? Okay. You're in the army now. You're a soldier of Christ. And here's what you do. You pray this prayer, the first prayer. I come to you, Jesus, as my deliverer. You know all my problems, all the things that bind, that torment, that defile and harass me. I now loose myself from every dark spirit, from every evil influence, from every satanic bondage, and every spirit in me that is not the Spirit of God. Command all such spirits to leave me now in the name of Jesus Christ. I now confess that my body is a temple for the Holy Spirit, redeemed, cleansed, sanctified by the blood of Jesus. Therefore, Satan has no place, no power over me through the blood of Jesus. God, I thank you for the power that's in the words that we just read. Lord, these are powerful prayers that we can pray. And I thank you, Father, for these people who have read them. And I pray that they would see the difference, they would feel the change, and they would know the difference that Jesus makes in answer to their prayer. Yes, our bodies are yours. We are the temple of God. And Satan's got no place in us to work through us even, unless we will it. Therefore, we must look into our hearts. And Father, I pray you would reveal to us those dark areas of our life. Let us know they're just not there by chance or by darkness, but they have been placed there willingly or unwillingly, and they need to be exposed, and we need to have deliverance. The secret evil that's in our lives. And then as temples of God, we need to come against infirmities that we have. So I pray, Father, now as people do come forward for prayer, that you would show us that it is the power of God that works even today as it worked in days gone by. We thank you, Father, for inner healings and for deliverances and for healings that take place physically in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Father God. As a possession. And you have told us that you will be with us to rout out the enemy that infests the land in which we live. And you've told us that you would be the enemy to our enemies as long as we were faithful to you. And Father, we don't need to be very intelligent to understand that not only are we talking about demonic influences, we're talking about just things that happen in our life and the lack of victories that we have when we seem to be defeated or discouraged or the different things that Satan puts upon us. The victory is ours in Jesus' name. And I curse Satan and his demons for tricking me, for tricking my wife, for tricking my children, for tricking my church that the Lord has given me to pastor, for tricking every member in this church, their husbands, their wives, and their children in their homes. I smite you, Satan, for tricking us and defeating us. And I ask, God, that your word echoes so loud in our hearts that say, I will do for you what I did for them. And the thing, Lord, that put me in the ministry more than anything else was that song that said, what he'll do for others, he'll do for you. Get your eyes off people, people. Put your eyes on Jesus and what God did for Jesus, he'll do for you. He'll resurrect you. He will save you. He will deliver you. He will strengthen you. He will be with you all the days of your life. And you needn't wonder and worry how you're going to die. The automobile may take you, an illness because of Satan may take you, or what have you. But God says, I'm going to be with you at the very depot of life, ready to receive you into myself. You won't have to cross Jordan alone. And then I'll give you the new land, free of all the enemies that have infested your earthly real estate. For I am the God who heals and performs this wonder. I praise you, Father God. You're here this morning and you're not a Christian.